Fellow Freedom fans, we're back. Just before the break, I'm going to kind of close up on this article that I read. It was a writer for the Council on Foreign Relations, and he was talking about the American perspective, the common person's perspective on whether or not that the United States should have, basically whether or not the United Nations should be running the world. Let's see what he, just one last thing that he had here. I put this in red before I go on to the next item. Contrary to popular thought, Mr. Patrick says from the Council on Foreign Relations, Americans see the United Nations as a critical pillar of world order. I was born in America, and I don't think that's that way. Our number here is 888-850-1872. They believe in multilateralism, a lot of isms, and they criticize ism, their own government ism, not for cooperating too much, but too little. Do they? Well, I think historically what I've understood is you see people complaining of American interventionism. So I'd like to see, when I emailed Mr. Patrick talking about whether or not he could come to talk to us on our show, I basically told him, could you please send me the data from the survey? I'd like to review it. Depends on how things are worded. When they say that it should be the UN having more of a role, it might be that they have an opinion that there'd be less American interventionism. That's the kind of thing I think. Whether or not I think the UN, I know the owner of our station, sometimes he's like, we need to just take over these guys. You know, we're going to nuke them all. You know, he's an imperialist. So he would say interventionism is like what America ought to be doing. Now, if America is right and righteous, hey, let's just take over the world and be a benevolent dictator, right? No, not really. So, this is what he says. He says that Americans believe in multilateralism. They criticize their own government for not cooperating too much, but too little. I disagree. I think if you've been drinking the in certain circles, a non-constitutional, non-biblical view, not world right versus wrong, but a kind of a strange little conglomeration of New World Order mentality. Yeah, they're just trying to harmonize and evolve into a global utopia. Yeah, people would think that. So I guess it depends on what street you're on. In Manhattan or San Francisco or someplace like that, you might get responses to their surveys in this way. Their dissatisfaction, so says Mr. Patrick from the CFR, their dissatisfaction with the UN reflects not disdain but disappointment that the world body has fallen short of its ideals. I haven't met those people, and they seek reforms to improve its performance. So I'm going to try to pursue an interview with Mr. Patrick on there. Hey, I'm going to read something today that I read. This is inspirational. The more effectually to accomplish redress of private injuries, courts of justice are instituted in every civilized society in order to protect the weak from the insults of the stronger by expounding and enforcing those laws by which rights are defined and wrongs are prohibited. That was a perspective of those who are in England at the time, Sir William Blackstone, and his commentaries on the laws of England. He was talking about courts, private wrongs, the redress of private wrongs by the mere act of parties. So he's talking about courts. To more effectually accomplish the redress of private injuries, courts of justice are instituted in every civilized society in order to protect the weak from the insults of the stronger. We see that in antiquity. When Solomon had to choose between two women, I guess they were women of ill repute or something like that, but they both had a baby. One woman's baby died. The other woman's baby was stolen. And then when she wanted her baby back, went before the judge, which happened to be King Solomon, and he said, the woman's got my baby. And she says, no, this isn't my baby. Her baby died. She just wants my baby. No. So they were arguing, and Solomon says, okay, bring me the baby. Cut in two, give half to one, half to the other. And then the woman who was really the mother said, no, she can have it. The woman who was the stealer and false witness, she didn't care. So Solomon determined who was the one who was being abused and he turned over the baby to the woman who is the rightful mother. So that was about 1000 BC that those kind of courts were going on. So that's what courts are. So there is a purpose. There is a legitimate and just and righteous purpose for government. And can I tell you, it has to do with what is right and what's wrong. Not fair, but what is right and what is just and what is not just. And the stronger, obnoxious one should not be bringing injury upon the weaker one. Sometimes the stronger one is a bureaucracy. Courts forget sometimes. Courts end up being an instrument of abusing the little guy by basically supporting the insults of a stronger bureaucracy that's really there to just make sure it can continue to consume, when your average person is just trying to get by in life, to love God and love their neighbor as herself. So, folks, we have to be wary and ever vigilant to make sure that we're not propping something up that ultimately is going to destroy all of our freedom. And when we're talking about freedom, we're not talking about licentiousness. That's the freedom to do that which is right. See, rights are those things that you do that are right. You don't have a right to do that which is wrong. So if you're doing right, so that's what freedom is, the protection to do that which is right. We're beginning to lose. We're having folks coax us and bait us as a society to do those things that are wrong. And we're sanctioning, in not in the negative way, we're protecting wrong, the murder of the unborn. It's the killing of our posterity is killing our prosperity. I read something else today, Federalist Number 51 by James Madison. He said, in a free government, the security for civil rights must be the same as that for religious rights. Can I tell you, these days what I see is particularly government is violating and is hell-bent against oppressing and suppressing religious rights, letting people do that which is right on account of a religion, that statism is becoming supreme, and the power of the state and the power of the sword is being used to oppress those who are faithful to religion. That's what I see these days. But Madison said in Federalist Number 51, in a free government, the security for civil rights must be the same as that for religious rights. I agree. And I say that those religious rights ought to be absolutely supreme, because if you can't protect religion, nothing is protected, is it? And George Mason argued in a case in 1772 that government doesn't have the power to punish somebody for those things that they're not going to be able to protect us from when we're on Judgment Day. So you can't use the power of the sword to coerce me or to bait me into forsaking what God has planned for me, because you can't protect me on that final day. I'm going to continue to quote from Federalist Number 51 by James Madison. Justice is the end of government. What's the purpose of government, folks? I actually had somebody actually answer this question years ago. It was on the radio in Virginia, and some guy said, justice. I said, what's the purpose of government? He said, justice. Oh, good. Maybe he read Madison. Justice is the end of government. It is the end of civil society. That's kind of what Blackstone said. If ever it has been, or it ever has been and ever will be pursued, that's justice, until it be obtained or until liberty be lost in the pursuit. So when we forsake justice, that which is just and that which is right, we lose our liberty. It's going to happen. In fact, the thing is, people, I think, are pursuing licentiousness, which is not liberty. And so it's not just, it's not right. So what happens is, if you continue to forsake licentiousness, doing those things which are wrong, and trying to get protection of government, see, justice is the end of government. It has to be just, has to be right. But if you get government to start defending and protecting those things that are wrong, ultimately, everybody's liberty is lost. And in fact, you see a lot of the folks right now are arguing, the sky is falling. There are people who are making money in healthcare insurance. The sky is falling. So what they're doing is they're making medical martial law, because somebody is doing something wrong somewhere, maybe. Well, hold that person accountable. And the more you hold them accountable justly, the more freedom everybody has. And of course, you're going to solve your whatever problem, the sky will stop falling. In society, this is another continued quote from Federalist Number 1 by James Madison. in a society under the forms of which the stronger faction, in this case, lately it's been the bureaucracies, something to think about, in a society under the forms of which a stronger faction can readily unite and oppress the weaker, anarchy may as truly be said to reign as in a state of nature, where the weaker individual is not secured against the violence of the stronger. Now, this is a kind of statement that me and Mark and I, were discussing over a month ago when he was talking about privatization and the evil corporations and all this kind of stuff, where you do have a strong faction that is using their strength as an opportunity. It's like an aggravated assault. It goes from an assault, which is essentially a wrong, where somebody is hurt at somebody else's benefit, where it's now aggravated assault. Somebody is stronger, has somebody weaker in such a position they can't defend themselves. And as the old commentaries of the law of England, they would say, poisoning is the worst of homicides and murder, because it puts somebody in a position where you're sneaking up on them and they can't defend themselves. It's just, it's debased. It's depraved. It's the worst of crimes. In a society under the forms of which a stronger faction can readily unite and oppress the weaker. So that may be if they own your power. So that's why these regulatory agencies, I do see a place where there is a legitimate place in government where you can take something that is just so completely controlled by a very powerful faction and say, whoa, wait a minute. You know, there's really no cause for somebody to come in and no practical reality. The question of whether a regulatory agency can take over the power company is, some people can legitimately say it is wrong. It's not a legitimate purpose of government. And that's still an argument that can be made, because let's say the power company does abuse their power and make it so they're just sucking the life and money out of people who are vulnerable. Well, you know what you can do? It's called the class action suit. So that's something that's possible. Now, currently in Florida, what they've done is the legislators put together a regulatory regime where the power company has to go to the legislature to get permission to get, because it's a benefit. Exercising a power company function in Florida is a benefit. It's something that has been government granted. Now, maybe if there were more power companies, more people producing power in their neighborhoods, and it was more readily available for people to choose from, and you had an open market and not, you know, maybe a free market or a family free enterprise generating some electricity, which is technologically feasible, then you wouldn't have to have a particular regulation, except maybe for something that regarded safety. So that might be something to think about. So those are kind of weird thoughts, but I'm just going to close with these comments by Madison. In a society under the forms of which a stronger faction can readily unite and oppress a weaker, anarchy may be as truly said to reign as in a state of nature, where the weaker individual is not secured against the violence of the stronger. So I've given you a lot of political philosophy thought, study of brotherly love here. Philosophy, the love of study. Let's just say what this is. So here on this Faith and Freedom show, I'm going to bring up these issues. We're going to be back. Tomorrow I'll be mentioning some other statutes that are being dealt with coming the next session. Pay attention, folks. What do you got going? What are you organizing? If you got some little organization that you want, you're trying to get your neighbors together to do something about some of this stuff, you're free to give me a call on the air at 888-850-1872. Your marketing dime is on me. So no doubt, give me a call, 888-850-1872. We're going to be back. Keep tuning in. Tune into our faithfreedoms.org. You can contact us there at faithfreedoms.org.